the model.
I went through enough headache with that thing.
Yeah.
Without having to help his kids trying to fight for what? You know, after we fought so many years trying to get our rightful share of that area.
Mm-hmm.
45 years.
Wow. So, in terms of thinking about Harry and his life, do you have any things to say about what you think might be important about it or important for other people to know about him?
Well, the thing where he shared most of his stuff, he was always willing to show and take in, like homeless. He and Annie would have a household just like I guess we were taught from our parents how to care for our Eskimo way of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We take care of the unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
We share, and that's the way we were, that's how Harry stood out.
Mm-hmm.
You hear, Harry did this, Harry did that, or so and so, and any of his services needed, he never charged.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave it. He gave what he had gotten to know and learn, even some of his skills to, I don't know how far he went with his own kids, I don't know. They never adopted their dad's skill in some of his handiwork.
Well, Ronald's doing some of it.
Yeah, a little. But that's not like Harry did it, you know.
Do you know how Harry learned how to do that? Carving and baleen boat making?
His own. His, from his asking people who did this type of thing, Scrimshaw, and making baleen boats like Dad had made some.
Oh.
Dad's patterns and stuff that he was interested in. He was always there when Dad was working on some of his basket making and his carvings on ivory and making earrings and that type of stuff. I think that's where he adopted it, got his interest in some of his talent.
Huh.
He was quite talented.
I didn't know your dad did all that.
Yeah, he did.
So
he learned how to make baleen baskets with the help of the old people.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, got that started many years back.
Mm-hmm.
And make baskets out of baleen. How pliable that, when he learned after it was no longer used for garments, they had no sale for it.
Mm-hmm.
But those baleen baskets, why, they sold like gold.
Yep. Still do. So you said the patterns for the boats, your dad did those?
Dad made, he always had to work something out to make pieces work. Oh, hi, Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
What's up?
I come to see your thing.
Oh, I just took care of it. I was sewing on the floor.
Oh.
And that thing that stands out on your foot, I had a sock on and I didn't know, I tore the whole skin right off on the rug.
Ouch.
Inside my sock. And that evening I started getting a hot flash right there and I took my sock off. From that whole skin had come off and was getting infected.
Ouch.
Oh, God.
So you have it bandaged and...
Yeah, I'm soaking it. And then I did the same thing, but not bad. I was making Charlie's 17-year-old boy a parka. doing it on the floor in there.
I'm so scared, you know.
Sure.
He's never really been sick before.
I feel you.
Oh, so anything else about...
Oh, the good nature. He was a good nature. You couldn't get him mad. If you did get him mad, then beware, you know, that type. He'd really do something if you asked to, if somebody crossed him real bad. But he'd think about it before he would act. Like when he jumped at that lawyer in the courthouse. He got up, the judge couldn't say anything. When
was that?
That easement that Tom had. Mm-hmm. And when the borough got interested in it, and they mm-hmm. paid $154,000, we were going to divide it because it was this one. It's doing pretty good. Well, anyway.
I can stop while you guys do that.
I just need to quick look at such that Tom had somehow obtained the check through his lawyer, and our lawyer, who was from Anchorage, he never got our portion of the money. And Tom's lawyer took it all for himself for services owed and left us with just $40, $40,000 for us to divide.
Sorry.
And, guys, that's when Harry blew up in court and got Tom's lawyer who got up. Well, I think I really deserved to have that money for back. He was not our lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He was Tom's lawyer. And he had no business cashing that check and using it for his own before we found out. Harry blew up in court. I said, you troublemaker, you're the one that's causing us all this mess. And Harry just looked at him, never tried to calm Harry down, just listened to him. And Tom's lawyer, we couldn't get the money back. Okay, how's your work?
I'm still looking for a new job.
Okay, the atmosphere is still the same. Find a happy atmosphere. You can't live in a place where you're miserable.
I'll see you.
See you.
Okay. She's getting so... she works at the assessor's office. And,
it must be crazy.
Karen moved over to the city office.
I know.
And everything fell on her. And then the borough hired a replacement for Carol?
Who doesn't know?
Nothing. And then he got himself an assistant and just left everybody there. And leaving more work, it's a turmoil over there, the way Donna puts it.
So did Donna apply to be the...
No, he said, I'm going to stay where I am. They offered her Karen's job.
Mm-hmm.
I said, for the amount of pay you give... Karen, he says, I'm not going to get into it for that much headache.
Yeah, but now she's got the headache anyway.
So she's trying to find another job to get out of that place.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
It's terrible, she says. There's no happy atmosphere. You're jumping at everybody who's doing everything all wrong, you know. And they don't want to talk to her because he jumps on them. I says, why are you doing that? It's not your nature.
Stress.
I know, it's stress. And so...
Well, it's kind of hard to have somebody...
She was over here. John came in for lunch, and she was belly aching about it. And I looked at John, and I said, well, Donna, you don't have to stay at that work. Just quit. We're not going to see you with this attitude towards us. harping on us and jumping on us for everything that we don't deserve to hear. And John looked at me. He was getting it too, so.
Yep.
Anyway.
Other thing.
Other than that, it's when everything gets settled to where we could reason and work with, you know, Harry wasn't a hard person to reason with when something came up. And when he asked, you know, he learned to ask before he went on his own, feeling what would be like if he started something, you know. And when his kids were old enough, I think he did a good job in managing his whole family. There's never a harsh word about any of the kids. Like they got really dealt badly by their father. When they lost their mom, it was kind of a sad thing. Harry, then he came down with that intestinal cancer. That
so how did he take it, Annie's death?
Oh, terrible.
Because I never knew her.
They were good. Where they communicated, they lived together. There were differences here and there because they were both working. And Annie got sent away to, like, Greenland, and then he would be entrusted with all the responsibility until she came back, well, a whole month at a time. And that kind of bore a little hardship on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But none where they couldn't cope with. They were two sensible people that could solve their own problems.
So do you
and their girls, the one that I marveled was the fact that when their girls got to where they had illegitimate kids.
Mm-hmm.
Harry just wouldn't let anybody adopt those kids. He said, if you're not going to take care of it, I'll take care of it. And he did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just responsible for his whole family like that. So they were able to work it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, he sure had a neat thing with Gregory. Can you think of any particular memories or stories about Harry that really are typical of who he was, really show who he was?
Well, his work really told the story, I think, with the Arctic Research Lab, where he was entrusted with so much of the operation of that work there, and with his fellow workers like old man Suwalik and the ones that took care of the animals and responsible for the whole lab area,
mm-hmm.
their experimental thing. And I think that he was resourceful in getting some of their specimens and running it. And the food, the type of food that was. So I think that valuable research for our people was mainly his interest too. He got into it, you know, where he was a native person. He had to know what was good and what wasn't good in the animals that we were eating, and I remember when this radiation deal, the measure, mm-hmm. came on the caribou and the seal and the whale. He was right there at the lab with most everybody. That was like Dr. Albert and some of the scientists that came up. He was forever working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked his expertise, because even though he's never was a trained person, you know, fully trained person, mm-hmm. on all of it, his knowledge helped some of those scientists. It stood out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his kids, because of it, that he was taken to areas where he would help with the lectures way down south, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it took the influence of the people he worked for,
mm-hmm.
how much they trusted him to do a good job. So I think that always stood out. Like one year, how come we were immune to rabies? The question came up one year.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, there was a research of people who trapped for furs, you
mm-hmm.
know, to make a livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us that were involved in that before the base ever came on, or that research, how did we know we had an animal in that trap that had rabies?
Mm-hmm.
We never knew.
Mm-hmm.
But we were taught never to work on an animal if we had cuts in our hands,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yeah.
So that was a safety measure. I think that was so valuable if the animal that we were working with, the caution that we not work with it while we had cuts in our
mm-hmm.
hands would penetrate right into our bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't say, I was questioned. Sent a questionnaire, and then I was had somebody from University of Alaska come in here who was doing the research.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I still have the letter that they sent me the results of the blood tests and
uh-huh.
all that that they took of us.
It is pretty amazing that all those years of trapping and nobody ever got rabies.
The only rabies attack was a wolf down in Wainwright. Man and his son were attacked by a rabies.
Oh, by a wolf?
Wolf, and beaten, and then his son got mauled, and in the process of where those areas, he sucked the areas with his mouth, knowing that wolf was rabid. He got it through that,
mm-hmm.
In trying to help his son.
Oh, he tried to suck it
mm-hmm.
out of his son?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The injuries were, but they both died.
From rabies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never heard that story.
Yeah.
How sad.
Yeah, it was a Leslie Sivan and his wife and his son. His 8-year-old son. They were brought into this hospital. But the effects, you wouldn't want to see the effects of what rabies would give a person,
I wouldn't,
a human being.
I think it would be horrible.
Terrible, terrible.
Very sad.
Just insane.
And that was at a time when they couldn't do
mm-hmm.
anything. Yeah, because nowadays they have all those shots.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Even tetanus shots and so on.
Yeah.
Step you on a rusty nail.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, Harry talks about, he worked on that survey where he did the whole North Slope. Was that the, do you remember that? I'm trying to get the name of it, who he worked for. It was in the 40s. It was right
Oh.
They were mapping. He was sitting...
Nate worked for it too. Geodetic survey of this land.
Geodetics.
They were mapping. They were doing it with the dog teams and so on and so forth.
So, yeah, some people did the coastline.
Uh-huh.
Harry did the inland part.
And
okay.
Nate did too.
Okay.
And they had the drum roller in the summertime. Oh, how hard it was. The line would break. They'd be about 20 miles out when their line would break and their darn dogs would be out there before you know it and they had to walk all the way. Go back out there.
So they used dogs in the summertime?
To map out this northern area.
I thought they walked the whole
way. They walked with the help of the dogs.
Oh, okay.
They had to have something to carry their equipment, and they did it with these sleds, or mm-hmm. roller sleds, they called them, where the rollers were drums.
Oh.
With axles drawn in between them.
Hmm. Okay.
In the wilderness up here, after the base, they made axles on these drums and reinforced it with welding it and with grease and so on, bearings, and then landing it with 2x4s or 2x6s and made a big slit with a platform on it. Using drum rollers and a hitch to tie your dog team.
Huh. And that was going in and out of Barrow?
Yes. That was during the summer months.
Okay.
But in the winter time, the regular sled was used.
Right.
Map the areas where the rivers were and the lakes and how far, estimate how far out they are.
Mm-hmm.
This instrument flying came on.
Mm-hmm.
Now all they gotta do is just fly and take a map.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was wondering that. I don't know if they used those dog sleds up in the mountains stuff, did they? Or just from Barrow?
Well, they had to get into an area where, using John Pass as far out as they could through the flat area.
Mm-hmm.
There's what they known as the John Pass that they use.
The John River up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it goes up to Wiseman and mm-hmm. those places. Yeah. Out of Cacket.
Okay. So U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey, is that what it was called?
That was it. Nate was in that too.
So were they working for ARL? I mean the
whole
Arctic Contractors, I mean?
Well, they were grouped, excuse me, so many groups, research groups up here. There were even people who were taking the depths of the ocean.
Hmm.
That old boat you see up there.
Yeah.
The two big motors.
Uh-huh, up at Narrows.
Yeah, that was a research boat. And dragging the bottom for whatever they could find. Mm-hmm. And
So Arctic Contractors contracted to the U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey and hired local people. Okay.
The whole thing, when that base opened up, we had no trained personnel in our community. It was the outside help that came in with all the knowledge and stuff. And then when they hired a person, I was called in to interpret to these my own people that they would not be paid like their bosses, even though they did the same kind of work.
Uh-huh.
because they weren't trained for the job, or but they would be on the job training type work. And if you think that was easy.
So did people, so yeah. Did you negotiated so the natives would get the same
yes,
pay?
Yes, well, we had to bring it among the people because there were complaints beginning to come in where we're not getting paid like they are. We know just as much. And because of non-training or schooling for that type of work for so many years, paid education to learn the type that they... That had to be explained to our people that have had no training, no schooling, and to make them realize that they're not going to get a full pay like their bosses are getting. And it worked for a while. Even when the oil exploration came in, that thing carried on to where I'd get a house full of oil exploration group. And to use my house to bring in people so I could explain to them in their native tongue.
So did eventually people start getting paid the same?
Well, if they had the full training after they passed so many stages of learning.
On the job training.
That's what hiked their pay, was someone overseeing that they were doing a job well done.
What kind of, how'd that make people feel?
At first, like I said, it wasn't very pleasant. When it was requested of me to do the interpreting and explain to my people that their pay would not be equal to the one that their boss was getting, and give the reason, you haven't had so many years of schooling or have not the expertise of knowledge that this person is making you work. But he will explain to you what you must learn, you know, until you're able to learn and grasp the whole mechanism of what they want you to do. And so it started working. Now here we're at a stage where we have the Exalted College where our young people are choose any field they want and go up there and learn about it and get a certificate. But it's not a fully accredited like University of Alaska, is it?
It's part of the university, I think.
Well, we've known, we've carried that area, some of the subjects and training from university. The Alaska sponsoring many of the subjects that were being taught here, but so many of it is like, if you want to learn how to speak the Eskimo language, that's not in there. But when I went to University of Alaska, they were teaching it, like James Nyack, and there was somebody else from Bethel.
They teach it here. And I'm taking it in Fairbanks.
But what happened here when Eddie, myself, Isaac Akutuk, the elders were called in.
Oh yeah, last year.
Yeah, to correct the correct pronunciation or the saying, the coordination of the words as we learned it, you know. Because the way we were given. If somebody spoke it, if a young person spoke to us, it was called a slang Eskimo. Because it was half English and half Eskimo, you know, the way they were talking it. But they wanted us to fully put it out and
okay. Just if anything else about Harry that I haven't asked you about, a story you want to tell me about him, or something you want to make sure I know, or people who might listen to this tape or read about him should know.
Well, like myself, I was born to a family where my father was a white man and my mother was an Eskimo. And in between, when I got to where I noticed that my mom couldn't speak the English language, and I knew that Dad was fluent in speaking the Eskimo language, where he had to learn it to be able to communicate with the people he was mingling with up here, the Eskimos. And what he wanted to be understood, he had to use the same language. But our mother, she never bothered to learn the English language, you know. So it was up to us where my mom was getting us to school so you'll be able to learn to speak the English language and to be understood by your father fully. You can speak to your dad in English. And at the same time, we were learning that we couldn't use our native language in school under BIA.
Hmm.
And then we were requested to take an English word, take it home for that 1 week, and teach our parents that didn't know how to speak English, make them learn that word and what it meant and how to say it. That was kind of an odd thing for our part of our education, but it was a learning part of it to where, you know, it was like eliminating our own native language.
Uh-huh.
Now we're trying to bring it back. But here, when Harry and I were growing up in that atmosphere, language, we had to speak native in our mother to our mother and English to our father, because Dad would talk to us in English.
Uh-huh.
And Mom would, we had the knowledge of both English and in Eskimo. And I think when we went to school, we stood out to where, you know, we had the knowledge of the English language.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't express ourselves in Eskimo in school, which was the, but when we went home, we could talk to our parents. We couldn't even learn or use the native tongue within the school grounds, even outside playing. We were reported if we spoke, reprimanded for a day. Well, I don't know. You've heard about people who were asked to stand in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That was so ridiculous to me. What was the purpose of that? Punishment of some kind. But sit there and separate yourself from the ones that were over there that were getting a lesson.
How many years difference between you and Harry?
I was born in 16 and Harry was born in the mid-20s.
He was born 1924, I think. Is that right?
24, 25. I know Mark next door probably.
I have it written down. I think I remember 24. Yeah, he was born in 24. I have to go look it up.
About 8 years difference.
Okay. You remember when he was born?
Oh, yeah. I remember. I knew. I was, let's see, I was aware of, well, Kate, I hardly remember, but I remember the one between us. I've often asked Mom, whatever happened to that one before Kate? And I never knew it died.
Oh.
Baby must not have been more than a year and a half when that little boy died.
Oh, I didn't.
Between Kate and myself. No. And then.
Kate's younger than you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Almost 3 years.
Oh, so you were just a little kid when.
Yeah, about a year and a half when I remember that. But forget, you know, in between, I was forgetting. But by the time Harry was born,
uh-huh.
I knew well. You know, I knew
right.
what was going on. I don't know. Because that was when Mariah and I were, Mariah was being brought back to our family after both her adopted parents died.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember teasing her and with Bob, my big brother, shying off, being with Mariah more and more instead of me, and I resented that, and I was being mean to poor Mariah, making her cry. And then when I learned she was epileptic, and my mom would order that I follow her around and then go run and get her every time she would fall and start shaking. Oh, I remember those so well.
No,
because I never, the responsibility that my mom gave to me, when we played outdoors, I had to watch, you know. Watch for her, and then at times, regular tomboy probably.
Now, did you watch Harry too?
Yeah, we had to watch those kids because Mom was always working with other stuff, like in the summertime. In the wintertime, we didn't have to, except when Mom was working for the, when they bring the herd in,
mm-hmm.
and there was a slaughter period of the reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with that in the month of November. And then in between there was hardly any. And then Thanksgiving, and we were interested, Mariah and I were interested to take care of the kids cause, to keep them out of the way. Mom was working with meat all the time. And working with kids. And she always had 3 or 4 women in her own house.
Uh-huh.
Well, Dad was down at the store and watch when the in the summertime, follow the kids around on the beach or they don't get in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they got sleepy, put them on our back and take them home so they take a nap. That was.
So was Harry born at home or at the hospital?
Home.
Okay.
And then Mary, I never knew Mom was pregnant. So one morning, I woke up, she told me, you're going to have to light the fire. And I wondered why in here 2 women were in the same room where Dad and Mom's bedroom was. And, Mamie Simmons was there. She had on what looked like a kerchief tied and something inside of it. This is your little sister. And I looked and at Mother. You mean you had a baby? And that thing was no more than it wasn't even 2 pounds. But Mom made her live with a medicine dropper.
Oh, yeah.
Feeding her. The ring that Mom had, she'd take it up, and 2 Marys could go all the way up to her shoulder.
Wow.
That's how small she was.
Was she born early?
Yeah, premature.
Wow. amazing.
It's Mary Adams.
Yeah. Well, those are all the official questions I have, so unless there's anything else.
No, growing up, we've never had any problems with Harry. He was... He was active, all right, but not to where he was what we call rambunctious or whatever, that type of, or mean.
He didn't get into trouble?
No.
He seemed like he'd be a mischievous kid.
Well, he was with the other kids' playtime, he could be, but never... I've never seen him ever get in trouble growing up. He was there would be some old people that were invited whenever, as a young man, it was a custom of our people that when a young person go out and hunt for the first time, these old people were brought in to tell the stories, what they should learn. So he was brought up, like my mom would want him to hear, from his elders, depending on how the elders would... want you to grow and how you should treat your the animals that you get, and where likely they would be found. And I think he listened to all that, like we did. Even though I was a girl, I listened to all of it too when I was able to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back after being separated for so long, it was brought back to me by my husband, who's never had a day of school except that type of training. And it's our way of life is twofold, knowing the white man's way, and then our traditional Eskimo ways were instilled in us through our Dad always said, having lived with the natives for so long, if you're told a story, no matter how far-fetched it may seem, don't ever shun the stories, storytellers, But because they were required to teach you through a story or getting the information out to us through a story form, how we're supposed to act and so forth, and the types of punishment that were given to young people if they weren't living up to the expectation of the elders or something. Certain things would happen to you and so on, fears, superstitions and so on. We learned all those. It was so funny when, for the first time, we were sent to an Indian school. The stories we heard about the Indians worrying with our people. We were waiting for that down there to have it started. But come to find out, it was the same kind of people as we were. So that type, they stood out. And
so who was Kupak that Harry was named after?
My mom's mother.
Okay.
Died at her birth. She named all of us with all the other relatives that were originated from King Island and Kishmurepi.
Okay.
But Kupa was the name of my mother's mother.
Do you know why he was named Harry in English?
Harry Bloomfield, my dad's accountant.
That's who he was named after?
Mm-hmm. Harry Bloomfield.
Okay.
I lived with them for a while in Berkeley, California.
Huh.
When my dad first took me outside. But they were on the verge of separating.
Oh.
And I didn't live very long over there. Mm-hmm. I just moved to San Francisco to a German family in Walden.
Hmm.
Stayed there for 5 years with them. They had a girl my same age as I am.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so talented. She could play the piano. And I just loved to hear her play. And I kind of spoiled her, I think, when it came down to do our duties in the housework. You play the piano, I'll do the work. This thing from Betty. Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to ask you something else, and now I forgot. I think that's it.
Well, Harry never was sent out anywhere to go to school. He completed the eighth grade, and whatever other education he got, he grabbed it through training, and he did it. Train on the job program, like most of our people here, got the experience in the late 40s, early 50s.
Okay. Well, that's all I have.
Yeah.
Well. I want to thank you for your time. I've taken up a lot of your morning.
I sent in my resignation for that.